we are, 48 minutes or so late. I guess we're beginning the tech vent for those who are listening. And I think the majority of what we're discussing tonight will be how good ham radio is in a case like this and what ham radio operators have been doing to help people out. I've got lots of comments with reference to generators and cell phones, both of which gave people a fair amount of grief. Let's see if we got anyone else that wants to sign in besides Joe. And we got Wes, we got John. Anyone else want to sign in to the quasi-tech that give me your call letters right now, K2RAW.
Got a little info for you after you're through, Dick.
Number 2SO Oscar and 2EL.
Dick, WHCDL. I got something to tell you.
Okay, now there was a double. Stand by a second there, Andy. I heard N2EO, and N2EO, were you checking on, were you giving us another piece of information, and maybe about Barry? Go ahead, Rich.
I thought it was an early check-in, Dick. I'm checking in. Pick up Andy, but I do have some information on Barry.
Very good. Andy, you got it.
Okay, just to correct the time, the tech night is really not early, because it starts at 8 o'clock and it's 10 to 8. So you're right on schedule. You have nothing to worry about regarding that.
My goodness, Mike, mixed up. I was thinking it was supposed to start at 7, and I'm late. Okay, so we're early.
You have 10 minutes, Dick.
That's good you guys pointed that out to me. Alrighty. Even though it's early, we've got Joe, we got Rich, and Andy, you probably got lots of information. I'm going to put you on the list. We got Wes, we got John. KC2, WGB, go right ahead, John.
NY2H.
NY2H recognized. Dick, I was out 5.5 days without power, and we have about 60 trees down in the neighborhood, big ones, 100-year-old jobs, oaks and maples, so we got hit very bad. And I was talking to the National Guard, and it looks like our body count will probably be the highest in the city. We've got corpses on the beach and stuff like that that haven't been collected yet, so they're working on it. So my internet connection is iffy. I lost everything, phone lines, internet, power, no heat, nothing. It was terrible, but it's a joke compared to what most of these people were going through. I've seen stories on the TV and on the web here that are just horrors. So if I can help you out with the names, if the thing is fast enough, it's pretty slow, I will do that for you. But go ahead and let Rich give us the information about Barry.
And NY2H, I think that's a little recognized. Go ahead, Rich. How did Barry fare? Because I know that portions of Far Rockaway where he lived, I think they had a tough time. Go ahead, Rich.
Okay, Dick, very good. Yeah, I saw Barry the other day. He came over because we got on the phone together and I helped him apply for disaster relief. His house got flooded out, Dick. He had 5 feet of water downstairs. He said the refrigerator was floating around up by the ceiling. He lost all his furniture. But he lives up. The good news is, if there is any good news, his living quarters is upstairs. And that's where the ham is, and that's fine. Everything was fine up there. But the downstairs, he was getting ready to rent. So his furnace is gone. His oil tank floated away. He's got some damage. He lost some elements on the 6-meter beam. He's not doing so great, but people are a lot worse. He was staying, last he was staying with his mother-in-law. Go ahead, Dick.
Yeah, Barry did tell us last week that his father modified the house so that it had 3 feet of extra altitude, and 3 feet to the basement. Once before in the whole history of the 50 years they've lived there, he had 2 feet of water on the first floor. This time, 5 feet. Brand new record. His next-door neighbor's house was slightly below sea level. So I don't even have to ask how the next-door neighbor did. I know that Barry moved his automobiles to high ground. So I'm guessing his automobiles were okay. He had one, a four-wheel drive-like vehicle at the house. And as the water started rising, my guess is he left in that vehicle, took his family with him. Is that roughly what happened, Rich, in 2EO, K2LAW?
Well, sort of, Dick. It's not a four-wheel drive. Actually, it's a son's, what does the son have? I can't think of it right now. The GM car that came out, I can't think of it. What car is that now? Saturn. He had a Saturn. He took it to higher ground. It's okay. One of his late father's truck was in the driveway. It was an old truck, but it's destroyed.
So I guess that vehicle wasn't movable, and he couldn't put it to high ground. His other vehicles he brought to high ground, they did okay, Rich?
Well, as far as I know, there was the truck was in the driveway, which got flooded out. The Saturn, he took a number of blocks away to higher ground. It's a car. Actually, it's his son's car, because his son has his truck in North Carolina right now, and he's got his son's Saturn up here. So the Saturn is okay. But anyway, like I say, he's got a real problem there, but he does have a house. It's a little more because he can get in upstairs. Now, whether he's back there now or still in Brooklyn with his mother-in-law, I don't know.
From what you can tell, you believe that his house will be recoverable, repairable. Is that true, Rich?
That's what it seems to be, Dick. My understanding is that house is about 100 years old. His grandfather built it. And the downstairs is all concrete block. So and it was built up extra high. His grandfather was a builder. So upstairs is 100% livable. But I think I think the problem is getting into Rockaway. Valley said there was a lot of mud, dirt outside, and that sort of thing. So he may be back there now. I don't know.
And from what you said, ham radio-wise, he lost an element on the 6-meter beam. And if that's what he's mentioning, that sounds pretty good that the rest of the antenna survived. Is that true, Rich?
He said he lost a few elements on the 6-meter beam. And his 2-meter beam got twisted around. He can straighten that out. By the way, I got a comment. You know, he put up my tower and the antennas for 6-2, 432, and 1296. And I'll tell you, he did a damn good job, because I had zero damage on the antennas here, Dick. And here in Whitestone, we had trees that were ripped out. I see a few blocks away trees that were ripped out of the ground, and the concrete ripped up with it and is sitting vertical in the air. So, I mean, the antennas took that kind of force. It's a tribute to the way he put that tower up for me, Dick. Roger?
I heard you mention that earlier in the week. You essentially never lost power, Rich?
Never lost power. Monday night, the lights flickered for a short time, never lost power. I have no telephone because my telephone is voice over IP, and I have no internet. So I have a cell phone here.
And you're one of the lucky people where the cell phone works. A fair percentage of them are not. I think you said, John, that you lost power for 5 days. Is that what you said, John? KC2WGB, K2RAW?
Yeah, Dick. Phone lines, telephone poles, no power, 5.5 days. There was... When I was on the InfoNet, the Storm InfoNet with Richie, I noticed some flickering, and I knew we were going to lose power, so I switched over to my emergency backup. I thought I'd get a couple of hours out of it. I only got an hour and a half out of it. I was only running 10 watts, so that was a little disappointing. But, yeah, we had nothing, but no property damage, thank God, and everybody's doing well. It's just the people on the shoreline, Dick. We're devastated over here. There's a big problem. We have no fuel. The lines are blocks and blocks long. It's crazy.
At Long Island, I did a little bit of driving around 1 or 2 days ago, and I saw tremendous lines of people, multiple places around the block, waiting at 6 o'clock in the morning before the station opened. The station they knew wasn't open. The station they knew didn't have gas, and they're sitting there in line, probably 60 people, I'm guessing, hoping that a delivery would take place and an opening would take place. I think if I understand correctly, John, there are still some missing people that might be found in Staten Island. Is that true?
they've got quite a few people that they can't account for, but they're slowly going through that. But a lot of the corpses they found on the beach, they don't know if they came in from offshore, could have come from Jersey, Brooklyn maybe. They're trying to identify the ones that they have, so maybe it's not all Staten Island residents, I don't know. But, woof, it's a mess here.
When you walk around your neighborhood, John, do you see FEMA and Red Cross and donations and food and water? Do you see emergency services being applied? And do you think that's slowly building up to the almost the right level? What does that look like to you, John? Go ahead.
Well, they are here, but they're not here in force. The last thing I've heard, there's not even enough blankets, not enough food. People have been on television requesting, you know, where are they? My neighborhood, we don't have that problem, and Con Edison is working very hard to restore power all over Staten Island. And we had, as of yesterday, we had 54,000 out, much less than that today, but there's a lot of damage because pumps weren't running, things like that. But if you look at some of the photographs, a lot of our shorefront, the houses, restaurants, everything we had there, they're all gone. It just looks like worse than Jersey.
The people who have just become homeless, John, are they dwelling in their automobiles? Is there lodging for them? I guarantee there's not enough hotels, and that's part of why I'm sure the New York City Marathon had to be canceled. I'm getting the impression from what you're saying, where they need blankets and hats and coats, that some of these people are essentially living out in the elements and there's not enough lodging for them all. Is that approximately correct, John?
Yes, Dick. What, they've opened some of the schools and some of the centers now where they can take showers and at least be warm, and there's food being served in some of those locations. However, FEMA is supposed to be bringing mobile homes here, which they have hundreds of, and they're supposed to be coming here. We'll see what happens with that. But there was a fella out at our new hotel that was built a few years ago. The manager made a decision, even though the hotel was full of these runners for the marathon because it starts on Staten Island, they didn't throw them out, but what he did was he opened the lobbies and all of the ballrooms, put cots in, didn't even ask permission from his boss, and he wound up getting a big praise from his boss. He'll probably get a huge raise, so that was a great thing he did. We only have like three basic hotels here, and everything is full. There's hardly any place to put anybody.
From what you're saying, I am guessing that the shelters are essentially at capacity. Is that true, John?
They probably are. The ones that were open that I knew of, I don't know if they've opened other ones. They were pretty full, but they did a good job. They had buses at certain locations that would take you to a shelter that's out at the most southern end of Staten Island, which had some vacancies, and they were running buses. You know, you just jump on a bus and they'll take you there, where at least you could stay warm, especially, you know, if they had kids. So they're trying to do a good job, but you know and I know, it's not the government that's helping. It's people helping people. And with the storm net that was running, Richie and the guys were running it, the information that was flowing back and forth was a great help. One thing you know, we're like the Australia of New York. No information was given out about Staten Island. It was always Brooklyn, Queens, you know, the major boroughs. Staten Island's always neglected. But I know they're trying, but we could use more help.
Understand, John. And I know that Bloomberg said that he wants school for the children to begin tomorrow. In Manhattan, maybe so. From your impression, where the schools are being used as shelters, I think it's fairly unlikely that school for Staten Island children will take place tomorrow. Is that approximately correct, John?
You know, that's a good question, Dick. I believe they are going to try to open the schools tomorrow. But what I don't understand is, we have Election Day Tuesday. So what's the point? Why don't they just do it Wednesday when we're back to some semblance of sanity? And, you know, that's like the decision with the marathon. Why did it take so long? Somebody's not using their head.
W2NDG, I think Lou, NY2H, is trying to get in or at least test Echolink. If you could drop for a few seconds.
NY2H, Y2H. Go right ahead, Lou. K2LAW. I put you on the list and I was getting to you. You got it, Lou. That last transmission, Lou, if that was you, it was 95% noise. Want to give it another try? NY2H, K2RIW.
All right, I hope you can get me. I'm on Echolink, Dick, and I have access to the controller. I'm trying to get you guys set up here, but you're not letting me in. I was recognized about 10 minutes ago, but then nobody came back. I can put you into net mode, and I can hang around at 11 o'clock, and if the machine goes down, presumably I can keep it up for you. So would you like me to put it into net mode now? And if I do, you could check to see if you need PO, or PO may not be required. Back to you.
Wouldn't it be better to just correct the clock?
Very fine, Lou. And sorry we didn't wait long enough for the beeps and everything. Okay. Should we stand by while you put it into the net mode? And yes, it would be nice if at 11 o'clock you can make sure it keeps running. And as you can see, Joe thinks it might be simpler to set the clock. Who knows? Over to you, Lou. And by the way, how are things out in Port Jefferson? NY2H, K2RIW is going to wait long enough.
KC2VM, trying to check in.
Alrighty, so KC2ZUM wants to check in, so if you acknowledge him, he's also on Echolink. And Joe, yeah, I'll look at the clock later. That's another venue we have to go through, but it's easier right now just to manually set this up. Alright, yeah, stand by. I'll put it in net mode. I do not have a radio with me unless I go out in my car, so you'll have to tell me if the tone changes. And as far as Port Jeff, well, I'm in Medford now. I'm at my girlfriend's house because I still do not have electricity over in Port Jeff. So my grandchildren lost their fish and their frog. They both died from the cold. All right. Stand by and we'll give this a shot.
Hello, Andrew.
That time.
Being on Echolink, I can't hear any tones at all, so you can tell me if the tones have changed from on-air or out stations.
I just did a transmission without tone, and it does not come through, so we're not in the net mode, Lou. Lou, when you're doing the resetting of the machine, must we be quiet while you're doing that? NY2H, K2LAW.
Sounds like net mode. We'll try it again. Stand by.
It may sound it like it, but you need PL to get through.
Net time.
Has the courtesy channel changed? Yes, we're getting the poor beeps.
But it still requires PL.
Alrighty. Well, yeah, according to the program that Bernie has set up here, it's supposed to change the courtesy tone and remove the PL. Apparently it did half of that, not the other. I don't believe we have anything else on here to remove the PL explicitly, but I'll look around. But, all right, we'll see. But you guys carry on. And as I say, about 11 o'clock, let me know if the machine goes down, and we'll try to keep it up for you.
Since the machine is most likely set to Eastern Daylight Saving Time, most likely at 11 o'clock it'll turn off because the clock has not been reset, is my guess. Is that approximately correct, Lou?
Yeah, what I think I'll have to do is if I can get into the computers, first I have to change the time on the computers, because that's where the reset the time on the controller. So that'll be the plan. We'll try to do that now.
Okay, during that operation, I did hear KC2ZUM signing in, and I think it was K2 Mike Uniform signing in. Do I have those two call letters correct? K2RIW?
That's correct. The KC2ZUM up here in Fishkill, New York, just signing in and listening for a little while.
Okay, in Fishkill, New York. Tell me once again your name. I don't have internet. Also, give me your call letters phonetically. Sometimes it sounds like Victor Uniform Mike. Sometimes it sounds like Zulu Uniform Mike. KC2 blank UM, K2LAW.
KC2 Zebra, Mike, the name here is
Okay, Zulu Uniform Mike, and I think you said your name is Alan, is that true?
That's affirmative.
Okay, and the other person signing in sounded like Kilo 2 Mike Uniform. If that's true, correct me and tell me your name, sir. And are you checking in for giving us some information? K2RIW, my name is Dick.
Dick, I'm going to try to reset the time now. You'll let me know.
Lou, NY2H, WA2CDL.
WA2CDL, NY2H.
If you want, I'm just a few blocks back at my QTH. I'll be able to reset it when I get home. I have internet.
Yeah, I'm going to try it. Everybody stand by. I'm going to set the time, and Dick, you let me know what time the computer says it is, because I can't hear that. But just stand by 1 second. I'll try it right now.
Sunday, November 4, 2012.
That doesn't come through on Echo Link.
Lou, we heard it say Sunday, November 4th, 2012. It never did announce a hour. NY2H, K2LIW.
K2RAW, NY2H.
Go right ahead, Lou.
Did the machine report time, and was it correct?
It did not report time, Lou.
Sunday, November 4, 2, the time is 8:15 p.m.
Well done, Lou. It just said time is 8:15 p.m. You've done it. NY2H, K2LIW.
Can you repeat? You're breaking up.
Okay. I know it's coming through the 8.5 output because I'm listening to it. There was no breakup there, but maybe over the internet it is. It said 8.15 p.m. So the you did successfully set the time from all I can tell, Lou. NY2H, K2LIW, how copy?
Alrighty, Dick, very fine. Yeah, my girlfriend's streaming video in the other room. We're taxing our Wi-Fi here. So that's probably why I'm having a little difficulty receiving. All right, I got that, though. So very good. So you guys carry on, and I will stand down, and I'll be monitoring. So I think you'll be okay, though, now that the time is good. It's NY2H. I'm clear.
When some people come in on either EchoLink or IRLLP, you know what I mean, the audio sometimes becomes kind of distorted. Because of either over-modulation or over-distort, over-deviation, if you know what I mean. Is that the kind of distortion you are listening to, Lou? NY2H, K2LIW?
No, negative. It was actually chopping up because, as I say, we're all on the same wireless router. I'm at my girlfriend's home here in Medford, and so I've got the control software going through one computer. She's streaming an ABC episode of Revenge from last week because she wants to catch up. So she's streaming video, and I'm on EchoLink here also. So between the three computers sucking up bandwidth out of the same Wi-Fi router, I suspect that's why I was having a little bit of difficulty. Back to you.
WB2C, UK. WB2CUK, please start off with your name. I should know you, but go right ahead.
Hi, Dick. Name is Bill. I was just wondering what cable service that fella has. We just got our lights back after 7 days or 6.5 days of no power, but the cable TV and the telephone are not working, and we have Verizon. I wonder if it's a local or a pretty widespread problem.
K2AMZ, I could answer that question.
AMZ, start up with your name and then give best read the answer. Go ahead.
KD2AMZ, Mike in Seacliff, New York. If you have Verizon cable and internet, I have fiber optic files and I have service. I'm assuming it's probably local issues where the fiber has been damaged.
E2BHY was a check-in.
KD2BHY. Sounds like Jim. And glad to hear from you, Jim. Lou, we are kind of curious. Are you on fiber, or what is your actual internet provider? What mode are they using? NY2H, K2LIW.
K2RWNY2H. We have Optimum online. In fact, Verizon is not being offered in the town of Brookhaven, one of the major townships in Suffolk. You cannot get Verizon out here for whatever reason. So our only choices are Optimum online and I guess the TV. You can go to like a dish network or some kind of satellite network. But for internet, we're kind of, we could get a DSL, I suppose. Our cell insight has a Verizon DSL going into it. But as far as Fios, here in Brookhaven, it's not available as of yet. So I don't know if it's ever going to change, if there are politics behind it. I don't know what the deal is, but we would like to have some competition out here, and we don't. Back to net.
Very fine, Lou. Now it's working. 15445. Yeah, you're coming through very well, Andy. You're making a change in the system, Andy?
I wanted to check the PL. Stand by 1 second.
I can tell PL still required.
Right. Just wanted to confirm that. Yes, you need PL. Even though we are in net mode, you need PL.
What's your guess as to why it's that way, Andy? Normally, net mode doesn't require PL, at least this particular net and its mode. CDL, LIW?
I'm not sure. I could do a reset on the controller. I'm home now, and I have the internet, but you got to stand by, and I could do that. Let's see if that brings things back to normal. Would you like me to do that? It'll be a complete reset.
I wonder if we should take the risk, Andy, or be happy with what we've got. You tell me roughly how long it's going to take. Is there any possibility of us losing what we've got in that process? To B2CDL, C2RAW.
It'll probably take about 2 minutes or so. You're not going to lose anything. I can always bring it back.
I think you're saying your recommendation is you do the complete reset. Okay, go for it. You got it, Andy. And I guess we'll wait until we hear from you.
Okay. Stand by a second.
RC2. The time is G18 PM. The time is G18 PM. Ready. Welcome to... RC2N repeater controller V5.28. The time is 8:24 p.m. The time is 24. Ready. Welcome. The time is 8:32 p.m. Ready. RCQN repeater controller V5.2846. The time is 8:33 p.m. The time is 8:33 p.m. Ready. Welcome to the W2VL repeater. The time is 8:33 p.m.
KE2EJ, KE2RAW, we'll be back in normal operation now, Eric. Didn't realize the extent of the damage in Staten Island. that for a while he thought the marathon could go through, and he thought schooling can go through. I suspect that as we hear more and more of Staten Island's true situation, I'm having trouble believing there'll be schooling, and I suspect that voting could be difficult. KC2WGV, K2RAW.
KC2WGV. Well, Dick, from my impression, the mayor was thinking to go ahead with the marathon because New York needed something to uplift and bring some cheer to the city. And $350 million is spent in the city by these people, so he was looking at that also. But I think it would have been a poor decision to run it. It really wreaks havoc over here with the traffic. All of those people start on one street, and then they run over the bridge. It's sort of like chaos. What they could have done, I believe, is they should have had them all meet at Central Park, let them run around the ring in Central Park for the, whatever the 27 kilometers or whatever it is. I think they could have still had it. But there again, they would have to supply emergency people there that are needed elsewhere. So I think it was a good thing just to cancel it. And maybe they'll have it again. Maybe they have to wait till next year. I'm not sure.
The thing that I need information on that, John, is that starting this year was going to be something in the vicinity of 47,000 runners. And yeah, a good percentage of those, you can bus them over in order to get them on the starting line. I am guessing in past years, when there was like 40 and 45,000 starters, that a certain percentage of those people wanted to be housed, wanted to have lodging on Staten Island. Give me an explanation on that one. And in this particular case, this year, housing some percentage of those 47,000 people, I think would have been very difficult. Over to you, John, K2LIW.
KC2WGV. Well, Dick, I know some slept in their cars during past years. Some roomed at hotels, and they billeted with residents. But the area where it was going to start, which is South Beach, is one of the hardest hit areas in Staten Island. That's where a major portion of the devastation took place, and it's heavily populated. So to start it there probably would have been very difficult to do. And then with all of the emergency traffic flowing around, they clogged the entire street for blocks. It's a lot of people to put in there. So that's what they did in the past. I don't know what they intended to do here, although I do know they had booked all the hotels, and they do have places in Brooklyn they stay. They even do it in Jersey and come over here and park their cars down in the big lots that we have. But that's about all I know about it.
I understand, John. This certainly is going to be the week that was, a very significant week. And I guess it was Bloomberg or Cuomo, who is saying that this is a once per 100-year event, and now we seem to be getting once per 100-year events every couple of years. That suggests that we're seeing a significant amount of evidence, not proof, evidence of global warming. Let's see if we can use the regular frequency, because then I'm going to pass it over to Jim and see if he can say some words to us. Stand by. Looks like I cannot go through the normal frequency, the 2585. Let's see now. Maybe Joe is able to. I know Joe said he's got a real question. When the machine was down, I heard Joe on the input tell us he's got a real question. So, Joe, if you're able to transmit on 147.375, go right ahead with your question. That'd be A2RYY. K2RIW in the, let's call it the tech storm deck. You've got it, Joe.
We need about another 10 minutes, Dick.
Correct, Joe. Joe, if you're there and if you can go to 375, go right ahead.
You guys are so quick on the trigger here. It's very hard to get in. I do have a question. This is probably not directly an amateur question, but maybe it is. Recently, I was exposed to some technology as far as with fiber optics. And with one of the things they said with fiber optics was, as you're joining the cable to the connector, it's very important that the cut of the cable, the fiber cable, has to be cut very precisely at 8 degrees in relationship to the connector that it mates to. Why did they happen to come up with this figure of 8 degrees? Back to you.
AC2IS.
AC2IS. Sanford, there's a man who has worked with fiber, probably at Cold Spring Harbor. So we're out of here, Bill. AC2IS, KQRAW.
Hi, Dick. Not too many end users still polish their own fiber. I never have myself, but there was a time when people would do that themselves. I'm not sure about the angle, the 8-degree angle that this guy is talking about, but I do know that there is such a thing as an angle-polished connector when it comes to fiber. Let me break for a second. With angle-polished fiber, the idea is that if you have a reflection, you do have a reflection at the interface between the two ends of a piece of fiber that are connected together, that the reflection should not come straight down the length of the fiber, the reflection should be off to the side at a different angle so as not to interfere with the original signal. I believe they want a precise angle because both pieces of fiber have to match, have to mesh precisely. That's the best answer I've got. Let's see if anybody else has something.
Dick, is that like the booster angle?
I'm not sure if it's booster angle. However, I do know that in case of waveguide, the signal bounces down the waveguide, RF signal, at an extremely precise angle to the nearest micro degree, depending on the width of the guide and your particular frequency. It is a very precise angle. And you have no ability to change it without changing the frequency or the propagation constant. In other words, if you put some plastic in there, yes, you're changing the velocity factor of the waveguide. But if you know the velocity factor of the waveguide, you know its dimension, and you know the frequency you're using, there's a very precise frequency. Possibly some kinds of fiber have a similar phenomenon, but I'm skeptical on this one now. The so-called single-mode fiber and multi-mode fiber. If the fiber has a graded dielectric constant versus radius, and I believe that's the so-called single-mode fiber, where there is no angle of bounce. So I wonder if you've got some familiarity on that one, Bill. AC2IS, K2RAW.
Power setting on the AC, so I don't think that's what happened. How do I sign up?
now that I know you're using an HT, I know that you're moving it around, and that's the problem. You moved from the first transmission to the second transmission. You've got to recognize the fact that the transmit frequency and the receive frequency on a repeater are different. And there's no, you know, you're 1,000 wavelengths downrange from the machine. As such, when you move the handy around for the strongest signal on your reception, it's not the strongest signal for the machine. So you gotta move a little bit and see if it's better or worse. When we tell you, you can't tell by listening mode because of the difference in frequency. Does that make some sense, Bill? AC2IS, K2LIW.
That makes perfect sense, Dick. I'm trying not to move from my last transmission position, and how do I sound now?
Right now you are 20% noise, 80% audio. You sound good, so please repeat that whole transmission about single mode, multi-mode, graded, dielectric constant, whatever, of fiber. AC2IS, K2LIW.
Yeah, this is AC2IS, and I think it's the index of refraction today. I don't think that's related to the dielectric constant, but the index of refraction of the material single mode varies continuously from the core out towards the perimeter, whereas in multi-mode fiber, you've got the core, I forget the diameter of the core, but the one index of refraction, and then another fiber sheet around that. Different effects of refraction, the light actually bounces off of the interface between that inner core and the outer sheath of fiber. The single mode, the path is more like a primary. Did you get that?
Not really, Bill. You move to the right position where you give it enough carrier. For reasons I don't understand, you spoke extremely softly. We had very little audio because you were speaking softly, very little deviation. So don't move, use the microphone, and please repeat all of the above. AC2IS, K2LIW.
WHYY, the guy's using a poorly, he might have a low battery. Some radios do exhibit loss of transmit audio in a linear mode as the battery voltage goes down. That might be what his problem is. Maybe he could try changing his battery.
This is AC2IS. This is AC2IS. I believe I do indeed have a low battery. Let me see if I can get one more transmission out.
Okay, I think it's time for you to either charge that battery or switch to another one, Bill. Let me bypass you while you get a chance to do that, and we'll come back to you for that explanation. So, as you can tell, Joe, what we've managed to discover so far is that there's a popular kind of fiber which is a graded dielectric constant. I said graded refractive index. There we go. It is graded refractive index. There is a strong relationship between refractive index and dielectric constant. The equivalent of dielectric constant for optical circuits is called refractive index. It really is, in my opinion, the actual physics at the molecular level is very similar. And so, the most popular kind of fiber that I'm aware of, the refractive index is high in the center, lower out of the edges, therefore the signal is sort of automatically steered toward the center of the fiber. It doesn't have to bounce back and forth like it does on a piece of waveguide. It would be very nice to make waveguide that way, where you've got a higher dielectric content in the center and a lower out of the sides. You wouldn't have to have this bouncing phenomenon, but that would be a very difficult to manufacture. As you can tell, we don't know exactly why exactly 8 degrees. And I've made some speculations about just setting up a particular mode. And Bill seems to be telling us that you do get some kind of a perturbation at that junction where the cable was spliced. And so there's some advantage of having an angle to that splice. Somewhat similar to what happens when you splice magnetic tape. Magnetic tape. You used to splice magnetic tape on a bias. I don't think they spliced a movie film on a bias, so you want to splice in between the two frames. So far, I'm not sure we know yet, Joe. And so, as I said, I don't think we know yet. We've got to dig a little deeper. And maybe you're going to find something, too, and bring it back to us, Joe. W2LYY, K2LIW on the TechNet.
But you know what? It's always great to bring a question like that up on the TechNet, and sometimes you don't get the answer you're looking for, you know. The price is right, so, but sometimes you don't get the right answer. But if I do find the right answer, I'll definitely bring it up on the TechNet, because inquisitive minds want to know.
You're absolutely right, Joe. Inquisitive minds want to know. And that's exactly what's going on here. The people who really make progress are the people who have got curiosity. They want to know how it works and why it works. Why did Mother Nature design it that way, so to speak? I don't think we're back to normal operation yet, so I don't think I can go back to Jim yet. I don't think Jim has the ability from his location to get to the 147-375 machine, which is reasonably far into Suffolk County, and he's a Northern Nassau person. Let me make a quick transmission and see if that's true.
AC2IS on the Eastern repeater.
Now you sound real good, Bill. Whatever you did, keep doing it. AC2IS, is that a new battery? K2LAW, go right ahead.
This is AC2IS transmitting from the charging stand. Let me try this fiber explanation again.
One other thing I should tell you, Bill, and that is if you take the yuckiest coat hanger quarter wave ground plane antenna and mount it on the chimney of your house, as opposed to using the handy talkie, your signal to the repeater will be 20 decibels higher. You can run in a low power mode. I presume you're at the home QTH. So altitude is everything. The exact gain of the antenna is very secondary, opposite of common sense. AC2IS, go ahead with your explanation. K2IS.
Yep. Yeah, this is AC2IS transmitting from a hole in the ground in Wisconsin. Sorry about that. And it is the rubber duck on the HT, so not much altitude, even though I'm on the second floor. Let me break for a second. Yes, I think you guys got the explanation I read off about the index of refraction varying continuously. Seems very similar to an atmospheric effect that you guys once described that caused radio waves to bend due to the variation of the density of the atmosphere. Same kind of thing, but in light wave in fiber, where the change of the index of refraction steers the beam back towards the center of the fiber, breaking again. So I'm going to make another guess as to the 8 degrees. I'm thinking that the 8 degrees hopefully causes a reflection off of that to have enough of a deviation from true, from a path straight down the center of the fiber, so that it cannot be steered back towards the center, that the light beam actually hits the black outer sheathing of the fiber and gets absorbed at that point. I would think that going maybe an angle greater than 8 degrees causes a deviation too great for the light that's passing forward through that interface, so that an angle greater than 8 degrees might cause the intended signal to also hit the outer sheet.
Yeah, I think you're onto something there, Bill. A good deal of the data that goes down a fiber these days is digital data. And if you had a fairly flat interface at the space, you would have one significant perturbation. There really is a forward surface and a reverse surface. There's two surfaces of that interface, some glue in between. And so signals are bouncing back and forth between the two surfaces, the forward and the reverse surface of the splice. And if that splice was thoroughly perpendicular, that bouncing signal would represent a coherent secondary signal, which is capable of giving you inter-symbol distortion signal going down the fiber. By way of a tilted splice, you now still are getting bounces. However, across the whole width of the bounce, the main signal flowing straight through and the signal being bounced are not coherent across the whole conducting surface, the whole transmitting surface. Let me drop. magnitude of the bouncing signal capable of giving you the inter-symbol distortion is decreased.